We want to welcome Brother Fred this morning as he comes to minister to us. We thank him for filling in for Pastor Gary while he's away.
As I touched the microphone, I was reminded that growing up as a kid, we went to those picnics, clam bakes in New Jersey. And sometimes it was wet. And you get shocked off of the microphone. They had them old big metal type things, you know, and the kids would, you touch it like this, like just one of the things that comes back to you over the years when you see things. Father, we love you and we thank you for this great opportunity to gather together as an independent church, being led by your Spirit. And we just ask you to lead us through this service today and feed us from your word. Show us those things you want us to see and tell us those things you want us to hear from your word today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. God is so good. I'm living proof of it. Praise be to God. Yeah, it would help if it was up a little higher.
Say when.
When? Thank you. Have you ever heard the term let go and let God? How many Christians are trying to be Christians, trying to do this, trying to do that, but really not letting God do His part? You know, we can't do God's part, and God won't do our part. So we need to find out from His Word what our part is, what He expects of us and what He wants us to do. And it's really not hard being a Christian. Some people think it is. Well, you know, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And He did say that. But He also said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Those of you who have ever worked on a farm, you know what a yoke is. Now they have harnesses more so than yokes. But they used to bind animals together with yokes so that they could pull a load. But Jesus is telling us that His yoke for us, the work He has for us to do, is easy. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's why we're here today, to learn of Him. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What He asks you to do is easy. It's not heavy. It's not hard. It's light. And we're going to go through some scriptures and see how what He was talking about, how it could be so easy when so many Christians are struggling and having a hard time. A lawyer testing Jesus asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The whole Old Testament hangs on these two commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor. And in case you haven't got it yet, the emphasis of this message is going to be on love. Love in the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament hung on these two commandments, that we love God and that we love our neighbors. The Old Testament is the law and the prophets. When you hear in the New Testament someone referring to the law and the prophets, or the law, or the prophets, they're speaking of the Old Testament. Jesus describes the law and the prophets very simply. He said, Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. On those two commandments hang the rest of it. And this is the rest of it. He sums it up in one verse of scripture. What he's saying to us is, in other words, he's saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others like you want to be treated. And that's love. That's love. And all through this message you're going to hear, I want you to take a special note. Take notice every time you hear the word love. Love was what the Old Testament was written for. Jesus was able to sum up the whole Old Testament in these two sets of scriptures. The one where he says that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the other one that to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Sounds easy. Sounds simple. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Why are so many of us struggling with loving the unlovable, we call them, the unlovable? But with God, all things are possible, and God is love. So if you have God, if you've been truly born again, the light bulb has gone off in your life, and you are filled with the Spirit of Christ, and He's in you, then love is in you. It's in you to do it. It's in you to do it. The devil is continuously, you've heard me say this before, most likely, the devil is continuously trying to get you to hate people. And God is continuously trying to get you to love people. Because love never fails. It never fails. Romans 13:10. Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. More proof of how you can keep the Old Testament law by New Testament principles. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Are you making your neighbor sick by your behavior? Are you fighting over the boundary posts and worrying about this and worrying about that? Trying to tell your neighbor how to live like the United States tries to tell the world how to live? Are you making your neighbor sick? Are you being a pain? Love works no ill. Love doesn't make his neighbor sick by your behavior. You can make your neighbor sick by your behavior. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Here's another one, Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For all the law, Old Testament, is fulfilled in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do we do these things, though? Have you ever noticed that? When I first got saved, it seemed like the Lord just put me right in a, how can I describe it? A bee's nest. I mean, I was stung from the left and stung from the right, and I'm trying to love these people, and they're just shoveling on me, making it so hard for me to love people. And it was a struggle. It was a fight. Some people are easy to love. Some people are hard to love. Fortunately, you all are easy to love. If you have your Bible, Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 14, starting with verse 15. John 14:15. Here we go with love again. You know how many times we tell Jesus, oh, I love you, Lord. I just love you, Jesus. You're just something else, Lord. I love you. Can't help but love you, Lord. I just love you. But Jesus says, if your Bible's printed in red, you know that this is Jesus talking. Red letter edition. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Remember the two Old Testament commandments? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, another key. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. If you have his commandments and you keep them, you're showing your love to the Lord. You're not just telling him. You're not just giving him lip service, but you're showing him by your behavior that you love him, because you respect his word, Old Testament and New. You respect his word to the point where you will obey the word. Again, I'm going to remind you, some people are harder to love than others. You're going to have to work at it. Sometimes you're going to just have to zip your lip and wait until the Lord shows you how to manifest love to that individual where they will receive it. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. So if you're keeping his commandments, God the Father is going to love you too, not just Jesus. God the Father is going to love you too. And I will love you, Jesus says, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus will reveal himself to you. People talk about having a lot of faith. Some people have seen Jesus. Some people have seen manifestations of Jesus. He will reveal himself to people. He'll speak to them. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me, they hear my voice, and they will follow me. We follow his voice by way of the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Father speak in heaven, and the Holy Spirit receives it inside you and passes it on to you. Are you listening? Are you listening to the voice of the Spirit? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As Christians, we should be attuned. We should have our radio, our spiritual radio, tuned in to God's frequency. And we should be paying attention to what God says. Well, if he hasn't been saying too much to you lately, maybe you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But you get a little out of line, you'll hear from him. Or if something special comes up that he wants you to do out of the ordinary, you'll hear from him. He'll give you instructions. Or if there's an urgency. I got a letter about a week ago. I haven't been able to get to it, but I finally got to it from an inmate. And he said that there, in the cell next to him, there's two young men around in their 20s. And he said that he has this urgency to minister to him. Well, he's newly saved. My wife led him to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So he hasn't been with the Lord that long, but the Lord is all over him to witness to these two inmates that are in the next cell. And he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know what to say to him. He's frustrated. But there's such an urgency on him that the Lord knows something that he doesn't know or that I don't know. Usually when there's an urgency like that, somebody's life is in danger. I've had it happen to me. On a job site, I was witnessing to a man, and it was frustrating because the Lord was all over me. I could not shake it. I just had this unction, this urgency to witness to this man, And so right in front of everybody, I was talking to him and trying to get to him for the Lord to where he realized that he needed the Lord. And he just wouldn't hear it. He just wouldn't hear it. Finally, I said to him, I was out of words, and I just said to him, if you were to die right now, I said, would you go to heaven? Oh, I'm all right. I'm all right. Chuckle, you know. And then I didn't see him for, maybe about 3 weeks after that. And then at a union meeting, I heard what had happened to him. Took a shortcut through a schoolyard on his motorcycle. One end of the schoolyard was open, but the other end wasn't. It had a steel cable across it that he didn't see. He lost his head, and he lost his life. And that sick feeling came down inside my gut. And then I knew why the Lord was all over me to talk to him. And he had every opportunity, but he chose not to choose the Lord. And so I recognize when this young man wrote me this letter, there's an urgency there because there's danger there, and their lives are in danger. And he told me that these two young men had joined one of the prison gangs, probably for protection. But he said, just listening to the young men, he said they didn't seem like gang members. In other words, there was still hope for them. They hadn't been indoctrinated into hardcore things. And so he wanted to witness to him. He wanted to minister to him. So the Lord led me to send him some tracts with my name on them and told him to try to get these Christian tracts, you know, like, Are You Ready? Titled like, Are You Ready? What Must I Believe to Be Saved? God Speaks to All Men, God Answers Your Questions, and I don't remember what the other two were. I think I sent them five tracts and told them somehow get them into their cell, give them an opportunity to be exposed to the Word, and that might break the ice, and then they might come to Him or they might write to me. But whatever the case may be, something has to be done. An effort has to be made when there's an urgency. If you ever feel an urgency on you like that to witness to somebody, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. God knows. You don't know. And he's not going to sit there and take the time to explain it all out to you. You'll find out about it maybe a few weeks later if they get saved or if something terrible happens. But at that moment, you know, God, He would probably like to have longer conversations with us, but sometimes I see Him as being very busy. Now I know He's not too busy for everybody and everything. But, you ever notice how He gets right to the point? Usually He gets right to the point. And He lets you know what's cooking and what He wants you to do. He doesn't tell you why. Many times He doesn't give you a lot of details, but He just tells you what to do. And He expects you to do it. So hopefully these two young men in jail will get to know of the love of Christ. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. Whoa. Well, Jesus never talks to me, Brother Fred. When's the last time you talked to him? When's the last time you kept one of his commandments? When's the last... There was a time in my life where he hadn't talked to me for a while. And I was getting, you know, what's the matter here? What's the matter? So I went to him, and I was really huffy, you know we are, not too bright, talking to the creator of all the universe, you know. And sometimes we're not too bright. Sometimes we don't give him the respect he deserves. And I was all huffy, and I said, Lord, I says, how come you're not talking to me? I haven't heard your voice for, you know, so many days, and how come you're not talking to me? And he said to me, he says, I already have. He says, go and read my word. I wasn't in the word like I should have been. Yes, he can talk to you 24/7, but he gave you a written word, and it's here for a reason. He wants us in it so that we won't be in captivity. My people suffer because of a lack of knowledge. My people are brought into captivity because they have no knowledge. And so God wants you in his word. Don't come to me and say, oh, Brother Fred, I wish I knew what you knew, or I wish I knew what Brother Gary knew, or I wish I knew. Wishing won't do it. Getting into the word of God will do it. And your faith will be increased the more of the word of God you take inside you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, period. That's why you have all these propagandists on the radio and on the TV. Wanting you to be a Republican. Wanting you to be a Democrat. Wanting you to be this. Wanting you to vote for so-and-so. Propaganda, propaganda. Adolf Hitler knew how to do it. Propaganda. Faith comes by hearing. In Adolf Hitler's book, he said, if you tell the same people the same thing often enough, eventually they'll start to believe it. In the negative realm he was dealing, but this is in the positive realm. The more of the word of God you hear, I try to go to bed every night with my Bible on tape or some other preaching message or teaching message. Go to sleep at night. Sometimes you're asleep, but it's still playing and it's still going inside you. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Well, let's go back. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He'll let you know he's real. I've had some experiences. I've been touched. Used to be people thought you were crazy when you were touched. Down in the hills, oh, that guy's touched. He's titched. But if you're touched of God, you can sometimes feel him. Feel him touching you. Putting his arm around you, giving you an attaboy. Ooh, ooh, ooh. How about those feelings? They're good. Manifestations of the presence of the Lord. How about the spirit of truth within you, revealing to you when something is said, whether it's true or not? You'll get that witness of the spirit. You'll know it's true. It'll hit you. And other times when something isn't true, it'll grieve you. You'll feel grieved inside. That's the Spirit within you grieving, the Holy Spirit. Letting you know that what you just heard is a bunch of baloney. Smoke blowers. Heat big smoke, but no fire. Well, let's continue. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, but the other Judas, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, here we go again with that love. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You're not alone. Since you've been saved, you haven't been alone one second. The Father and the Son have made their abode with you if you are continuing on with Jesus. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you're continuing in his word, he's with you. He's with you. He's been there all along. And by the way, he sees everything you do. So be careful what you do. I know sometimes mankind is funny. They think that if they do something at night, nobody will see them. But sometimes I think God sees his best at night. Praise be to God. Because he is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. So we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So then you'll have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Didn't Jesus have the Godhead bodily? Which means Jesus walking around had Father, Son, and Holy Ghost with him. He was a manifestation of the Godhead bodily. And the Godhead includes Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus had all three. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said. Well, why can't we have that? Well, he's telling you how you can have it. All you got to do is love him enough to do what he says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Praise be to God. Verse 26, and then we're going to move on. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Who's your teacher? The Holy Spirit. Does he use people? Yes, because God has set some in the church for the perfecting of the saints. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, and so forth. Exhorters, prayer warriors. You don't think that prayer warriors are lifting you up, keeping you alive, causing blessings to take place in your life? Everybody's got a ministry. We're all members of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God has a job for you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit in the newer versions, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit brings things to your remembrance. Well, I never heard God speak. Brother Fred, have you ever had a scripture jump into your mind? Many times you can feel it coming up out of here. Out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. You ate it. You ate the word of God. You put it down in your innermost being. And now the Holy Spirit, every now and then, when you need to know a certain thing, or he'll bring a scripture up. Sometimes God will speak to you directly without quoting a scripture, but it'll be scripturally based. Praise be to God. Let's go to John chapter 15. We know now that if we love Jesus, he expects us to keep his commandments. But what are his commandments? So let's go one more chapter from John 14 to John 15, verse 7. John 15, you remember that, I am the vine, you are the branches chapter. John 15, chapter 7, or John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if, there's that word again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, how will his words abide in you? By you taking them in. If you're not taking them in, they can't abide there. They're not going to linger there. They're not going to hang in there if you don't take them in. There's a scripture in Timothy that talks up, one of the Timothys that talks about study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's up. God's not going to force it into you. It's up to you to read it or to play it before you go to bed at night and leave it run all night long or as long as it will before it cuts off. The Word of God, or a teaching about the Word of God, or from the Word of God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Whoa! A condition for answered prayer? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Well, I asked the Lord 6 times, Brother Fred, and nothing happened. Have you been in His Word lately? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God wants you to be a producer. He wants you to be a blessing to the people around you. He wants you sowing seeds. He wants you doing something. You've heard me say this, Christianity is not a do-nothing religion, it's a do-something religion. There's something that God wants you to do. Well, you know, I'm only so old, you know, and I'm still in school, or I'm out of school, or I'm... A million excuses we have. We're either too young, we're too old, or anything in between. Well, the weather's bad today. Well, it's too hot out there today. Well, you know, it's one thing or another, an excuse to keep from doing what the unction or the urgency of God's Spirit has put all over you to do. And you're not going to shake it. His gifts and callings are without repentance. You might as well quit running from God and turn around and just open your arms and say, I'm sorry, Lord. What do you want me to do? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. God wants you to continue in his love. Well, how are you going to do that? How do we stay in God's love? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Again, we hear it. God expects some things from you. To whom much is given, much is required. And much has been given to you. You know he's real. Don't sit there and tell me you don't know he's real. He has manifested himself to you in one way or another throughout your life a number of times. At first you didn't recognize it, but after you got to know him, you know who it is that's talking to you. You know who it is that's leaning on you to do something. If you keep my commands, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we're to continue obeying the Lord so that we continue abiding in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12, Jesus' commandment out of his own mouth. This is my commandment, that you love one another. What is Jesus' commandment? That you love one another. As I have loved you. So are you beginning to see how his yoke is easy and his burden is light? This is all he wants you to do, is just to love people. Because love never fails. Sooner or later they crumble, they crack, they fall. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. All you got to do is love them. Oh, and they'll be ornery. And they'll mouth off. And they'll be rebellious. Children. Old folks. Cantankerous. I was put with some of the most ungodly people when I was working in the electrical trade. And they would do it on purpose, I think. Just to agitate me. They would, or maybe to help the other person. I can't say all their motives were bad. But I would get partnered, buddied up with some of the most obnoxious people you'd ever want to meet. I remember telling one guy one time, I says, you know, I mean, he was just constantly on me from the time I got to work. And finally, I turned to him one day and I said, you know, Louie, his name was Louie. I said, you know, Louie, I must be a Christian. And he looked at me kind of puzzled. I says, because if I wasn't, I'd grab you by the collar and I'd drag you out behind the building and I'd work you over and only one of us would come back. I mean, and man, his eyes got, he never thought that I would ever think or say anything like that. And his eyes got real big like saucers, you know. And he left me alone for about a half an hour. And then he started back. I mean, you've been with people like that. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you anything new. Sometimes they're family members, relatives that you don't even want to talk to, you don't want to talk about. And you're better off not going and visiting and seeing. And the Lord won't be angry about you not doing that. But if he's prompting you to go talk to him, you better go do it. But if he's not, why agitate yourself? Pray for them. Pray that the Lord will send somebody to them that they will listen to, because they're not going to listen to you. A prophet is without honor in his own land and among his own kin folks. We have sometimes very little people say, well, I won this person, the Lord, I won that person. Most of them are strangers. But God will send people to your family members. If you're obeying him, ministering to others, he'll send people to your family members that they will listen to, that they'll be able to receive. And how? Why do you need credit for that? Just do what God told you to do. Minister to who God tells you to minister to. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And he commands you to love people. You don't have any choice. This is a commandment. You're either going to keep his commandments or you're not. Any man who keeps my sayings, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Jesus wants you to keep his sayings. He wants you to keep his commandments. Let's see. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Are you a friend of Jesus today? Matthew 5, 43 and 44. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. I was walking in the mill one day, crossing the railroad tracks up there, going into where the new BOF is, and the continuous caster and all that stuff up there in Warren. You know the company keeps changing hands? It was owned by the Americans, and then it was owned by the Russians, and now it's owned by the Americans again. And, they were just, I hated to go to work. I was getting to the point where I hated to go to work. I didn't want to go there. I mean, they were miserable. They were treating me bad. No, poor Freddie. Poor Freddie was being persecuted. And as I'm crossing railroad tracks, I didn't even want to go to work. And the Lord knew it. He knew my attitude. And he said to me, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And so I started praying for them as I was walking in. Within a day or two, I had a cushy job away from everybody else, sitting in a trailer making up labels for wires. I spent I don't know how many weeks in that trailer. There was only me and one other guy. He was operating the label making machine, and he was somehow taking the information I got and making labels out of them. But I had to go through all this paperwork and just sit there all day long. And then the foreman would come by and take me out to lunch. His father was a guard at the back gate. And we'd go up to the sunrise and have garlic chicken for lunch while everybody else was brown bagging it. And then we'd come back in and I'd go back in my trailer. Nice warm trailer, middle of winter time, doing what I was doing. All I had to do, I had forgot that I was supposed to be praying for my persecutors. And when the Lord told me to do it, I started praying for it. And things started to change. Amazing, isn't it? What God will do when you're keeping his commands. So we're to love our enemies. See, but Jesus said, in the Old Testament, it was a little different, you know. They misinterpreted a lot of the Old Testament. And he said, that's why he said, you have heard that it has been said. You have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. This is Jesus talking. Bless, and you can do it. He's not asking the impossible. His yoke is easy and his burden is light, right? Didn't he tell us it was easy? Oh, but you don't know what they did to me, brother. Have you ever watched on TV when someone is sentenced and they give the victim's family an opportunity to speak to that one that was sentenced before they take him out of the courtroom? Hey, I'm no good, dirty. I'll never forget you. Forgive you for this. I'll never forgive you for that. This guy's standing there in an orange suit taking it. And what's wrong with this picture? For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Get over it. You can't go back and change it. That poor guy that's going to jail, poor guy, he might not have repented yet. But he's poor. He doesn't know Jesus. He's not rich like you. We're rich. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. Oh, it's easy for you to say, Brother Fred, you never had anybody do this to your family or never had anybody do that to your family. God help me to remember to pray every morning for the protection of my family so that it doesn't happen. Is God faithful or what? We have not because we ask not. If you're not praying for the protection of your family every morning, you better get in the business of doing it. Don't start taking God for granted. The scripture says you have not because you ask not. During the day, the devil will get on your case and say, oh, well, you know, your kid's going to do this today. Don't stop doubting what you prayed for in the morning. The devil will try, and you start doubting it, you might as well take those prayers and throw them away. Oh, but devil, get away from me. I prayed this morning. I can't be everywhere and watch my kids 24/7, but he can. Praise be to God. Somehow, with the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to love people. You're going to love them or you're going to be in trouble. You're not going to have a nice, easy Christian life. You're going to be the victim of Satan. He'll cut your guts out if he can. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, I'm finally starting to get it with my wife. It's taken years. I'm 70 years old. And I was writing a letter to my wife's girlfriend telling how well my wife and I are getting along now. And she writes back to me, and she's a Christian, born again, lives in Houston, Texas, and she says, she grew up with my wife. And she says to me, oh, you finally got it, huh? Finally figured it out. Folks, I don't care if my wife doesn't come here to church. Because where she's going, she's getting fed. She may not listen to me. I remember one time I got on her case and I read her the riot act up one side and down the other, you know. And I walked on off and I knew, I could see it. In my mind's eye, it was going in one ear and out the other. A little while later, maybe that very day, she's watching Billy Graham on TV and he's telling her the same thing. And she's just sitting there like this, mesmerized, just drinking it all in. Just drinking it all in. And I looked at that and I just walked away smiling. Don't try to be something that the Lord doesn't want you to do. Don't try to witness to people the Lord doesn't want you to witness to. He knows. You don't mess up what God's doing. Be led by the Holy Spirit. There are times to speak and times to be quiet. And if you want to be successful and to bear fruit pleasing unto the Father, like we just read in the scriptures, then you need to be obedient. God knows what's going on. You don't. All we know is what God reveals to us. Just keep loving them. Just keep loving them. And pray that somehow someone will cross their paths that they will be able to receive from. And then watch God work. What do you think he needs to do everything through you? He doesn't do everything through me, especially with my wife. So what do I care how God does it or what he's doing? Or how he's doing it? Brother Fred, she's writing to those inmates and those inmates are writing back to her. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that great? She led somebody to the Lord and now he's writing back to her. Isn't that great? What do you think? I'm going to jump in there and interfere with that? I don't think so. Hopefully I've learned something over the years. Hopefully we have learned over the years to let God be God and let him do what he's doing. Many times, doing something for God is doing nothing. Well, what do you mean, Brother Fred? You just said earlier that we all should be doing something. Yeah, we all should be doing something. But you shouldn't be interfering in what God's doing. God help us. to be obedient to the leading of the Spirit. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 John 4:8. He that doesn't love doesn't know God. Now, I'm not quoting it to you, as you notice, out of the King James Version. I'm putting it into NIV Version or Fred's interpretation. 1 John 4:8. He that doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. Let's go there. 1 John 4:8. That's one of those little books in the back of the Bible. First John 4:8. And let's go back to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Here we go again. Love one another. Love one another. Fortunately, you folks are so easy to love. I got to tell you, there isn't anybody here. There isn't anybody here that I can't love. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And we're not all the same. We're different. I don't know. And by the way, I don't know everything. I'm giving you this out of the Word of God. He's the one that knows everything. He's the one that put it all. I'm just telling you what he said. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God. Born again? Born of the Spirit? I hear some love. Hear some love being manifested down here. Doesn't that just almost bring tears to your eyes? The joy of children. I mean, they are really getting into it. Oh, if I tear up, I'm having a hard enough time as it is. If I tear up, I'm really going to be, oh, it's magnifying things. Okay. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. Born again. Gee, one of the signs of a born-again believer is love. One of the manifestations of a born-again believer. One of the evidences of a born-again believer is love. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Is this easy or what? He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Praise be to God. I'm on the last page. So hopefully it won't stretch out too much further, right? Or not. Now, some people are harder to love than others. But is anything too hard for God? God is love. He loves them. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. Didn't Jesus say, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect? Well, what was he talking about? He was talking about how God is perfect. He loves everyone. The vilest sinner, the one that stabs you in the back every day at work, he loves them. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And so he sent his Son to die for us. And we have the gospel to preach, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those that believe not, we can't force them to believe. But we sure can be propagandists, can't we? Tell them. Every time the Lord gives you someone to speak to, tell them. Every person you meet may be an opportunity to share Jesus. Every person you meet, every new friend, every encounter with another human being, stay spiritually alert. We are all ministers. We are all ministers, co-laborers with Christ, members of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Well, how do we know when somebody's a lover and when somebody isn't a lover? How is love manifested? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, and we'll see how, chapter 13, and we'll see how love is manifested. how you can see love in action. Let's start with verse 4. Charity or love, synonymous. You can substitute. In fact, in some of the newer translations, it probably, maybe in your Bible.
What chapter was that?
Chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4.
Thank you.
1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity suffers long. Let's call it love. Love suffers long. You find somebody that's long suffering, that's putting up with this and putting up with that and putting up with this, and you wonder how in the world they can do it. Because Jesus put up with them for years. Why can't they put up with somebody? Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity, by the way, I'm not envious of our pastor. I used to be a pastor, and I know what being a pastor is like. And it is one of the, you talk about long suffering. It's one of the toughest jobs on the face of this earth. For 5 years, I was a pastor, and I'll tell you what. It really changed my attitude towards pastors. I love them. I love them. And if I can make their job easier, if I can fill in for them, some Sunday, or I can do something for them, or maybe they got two or three sick people and I can't get to everybody at once, and I get a phone call to go here and go there. God help me to be obedient and to do what to make our pastor's job easier. How you can make? Don't expect your pastor to go out, by the way, and bring him in. You go out and bring him in. He's here to minister to him. He's going to separate himself to the Word of God in prayer. And we're going to bring him in. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Oh, I'll tell you, whenever I'm ministering, it seems like I always get at least one song out. Or one little verse or one line. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity doesn't have the big head. And if we start getting the big head, the Lord humbles us. I've had it happen to me a few times, so I know what I'm talking about. I mean, he will bring you down to where the rubber meets the road if you start thinking, because knowledge puffeth up. The scripture says that. The more knowledge you get, sometimes you get a little huffy and a little puffy and a little arrogant. But the Lord has a way of dealing with that. You know, like spare the rod and spoil the child. He'll let you embarrass yourself so bad that, I'm not the only one this has ever happened to. And that's another thing you're going to find. When people are preaching to you and they're teaching to you, they're not telling you anything new in a lot of areas. They're reminding you of things that happened in your life. Praise be to God. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Seeketh not her own. Charity seeks not her own, but what other people need. And when you start doing this, at first it's a little tough at first. It's a little tough. Because you have to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. You have to begin to be a giver. Even when you got nothing. When you have nothing, that's the time to start sowing seeds of money. If you need money, you start sowing seeds of money. If you need other things, you start sowing other seeds. You want tomatoes, you plant tomato seeds. Just some things to think about. But Brother Fred, if I don't give this money, I'm not going to have this and I'm not going to have that. That's the way the world thinks. But the scripture says, given it should be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Oh, well, I've been sowing for 15 years, Brother Fred. Well, you better go 16. Because what you're asking for, what you need, is something big. And so you're going to have to sow something big in order to get something big. And that something you've been sowing is accumulating. In God's storehouse, it's accumulating and accumulating. And one of these days, he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even begin to contain. This church is on the verge of explosion. This fellowship is on the verge of explosion. Already certain people have already contributed. We got a building. We got a place to meet. The heat is on. The bills are getting paid. We need to get a name for this fellowship. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked. After a while, the fiery darts of Satan will get left, and they usually come out of people's mouths. But after a while, the fiery darts of Satan will get like water off a duck's back. They'll hit you and they'll just bounce off. Why? Because you got your shield of faith up. You got your helmet of salvation on. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I mean, you got that shield of faith. Not only that, you got the sword of the Spirit in your hand. And if he gets too close to you, the devil, you'll just stick him. Stick him good like Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness. And he just kept sticking him with the word, sticking him with the word. And finally the devil had to leave. He couldn't take him. He was bleeding all over the place. And so it is with us. He's given us the word of God to defeat the devil with. But charity does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Get the thoughts out before they can begin to take root. Get them out of your head. It seems to me, I don't know all there is to know about this, but it seems to me like the devil has access to our mind. Of course, we probably give them access to it by the stuff we watch, the stuff we hear. If we see no evil and we hear no evil, we will speak no evil. Because it won't be in us to come out. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity. When something bad happens to some bad person, they're getting what they deserve. How about the eternal fire they're going to roast in? Compassion. Mercy. Like I say, sometimes it's not easy. Well, you don't know what they did to us, Brother Fred. You don't know what they did to me. They're still sandbagging me at work. Every time I turn around, somebody's running to the boss and telling them lies about me. And this and that and the other. And those things happen. But if you lose that job because of persecution, he'll find you a better one. Well, there's no jobs out there, brother. The Lord makes a way where there is no way. What do you mean there's no jobs out there? The Lord will make a way for you where there is no way. Why? Because you're special. You're not just some ordinary piker that's staggering down the pike. You're a child of the King. And he wants to bless you. God loves his children and he wants to bless you. Who hinders them? Most of the time we do. Well, our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yeah, your own flesh. Your own flesh many times is hindering what God wants to do for you. Many times you curse yourself with your own words. You call yourself a dummy when you do something wrong. You got the mind of Christ. You're not a dummy. You just made a mistake. God still loves you. What do you think when your baby messes its pants? You change his diaper, you powder his behind, and you pick him up and squeeze him and love him. God may have to change your diaper a few times in your Christian walk. Maybe when you're older, you'll get the switch. He might say to you, hey, Freddie, go get me the switch. Spare the rod and spoil the child. You'll be grieved in spirit for maybe 2-3 days till you get over it and realize that he still loves you. We all make mistakes. You've heard me say this, I've never run into anybody yet that hasn't sinned since they've been saved. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God, by the way. He's the manifest glory of God. We've all come short of him. That's why we need him. We need his sacrifice on the cross. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Love never fails. It just never fails. It's what breaks them down. When they're shoveling you, shoveling the dirt on you, they're shoveling the dirt on you, and you turn around give him another shovel. Say, here, this shovel's a lot easier than that other one. You're going to get calluses. Or here's a pair of gloves for your hands. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to think. They can't. That's one thing that they can't beat, is love. They can't beat it. They can't beat it. This is why Jesus told us to turn the other cheek. They're astounded. They can't believe what they're seeing. Whack. Bam. Turn the other cheek. Charity never fails. Prophecies, they shall fail. Tongues, they shall cease. Praise be to God. Love never fails. God never fails. We used to sing a song in church. Here I go again. I'm almost done. Honestly, I am. Unless the Lord takes me off somewhere. But never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' love has never failed me yet. This one thing I know, that where'er I go, Jesus' love has never failed me yet. He won't fail you because He loves you, and you won't fail. You won't live a defeated Christian life if you're loving others and letting that love of God flow out of you. It's going to take some doing. Maybe you've started already, maybe you haven't. Well, what about that guy that did this to me? What about that kid that scraped my car with that... Remember the old beer can openers? Scraped down the car with a beer can opener? Now we got pop-top cans. Jesus' love has never failed me yet. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity, which is love, among yourselves. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. It's just getting better and better, doesn't it? Your love will cover a multitude of sins. This inmate that my wife led to the Lord wrote to me and said, sometimes I don't feel like how could God forgive me for all those things I used to do? And I have to write him back and tell him, oh, the devil's trying to hash that up and remind you of it, keep reminding you of it. But it's watered over the dam. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Don't let the devil bring it up anymore. And by the way, don't confess to man, unmerciful man, because you've already confessed to God and the punishment was paid by Jesus Christ. So don't be stupid enough to open your mouth and tell everybody about all the bad things you used to do, because mankind is unmerciful. That system out there is unmerciful. If you got out of that system with some good fortune, God intervened in it. Let me tell you. If you came out, you know the expression, smelling like a rose. If you came out of that mess smelling like a rose, it's because God intervened in it. He put something in that judge's head, or that magistrate's head, or that prosecutor's head that day, that morning. Maybe it was, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Maybe it was that. For charity or love covers a multitude of sins. And finally, the last two verses that I have here. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abides faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Charity. The greatest of these is charity. And then the very next verse, 14:1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Follow after charity. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Just about the time you're thinking of not taking your wife something home from McDonald's because you stopped there on your way home from church or some other place. That's one of the things that works with me. And or you stop at Arby's or some other place And you're on your way home, and or maybe your daughter, you know, she hadn't eaten supper or something like that, or somebody in your household or something like that. Wouldn't you like somebody to bring you something if you were sitting home and you hadn't eaten all day? My schedule, because of my the process of my healing isn't complete yet. That's a good way of saying it. But it will be. There are times when I can't eat for long periods of time, like especially before I minister. And so after church, I am famished. So when I go home, many times I stop someplace, and not only to feed myself, but I also ought to consider others and maybe take something home. And many times, especially during the season, your love will be out shopping, and you'll see somebody that's hurting, and you'll know the minute you see them they're hurting. You can see it on their face. They're in trouble. You don't know what it is. You don't know how it is. But God will touch you to bless somebody. And maybe you will and maybe you won't. But if you do, you talk about a joyous Christmas season. You'll have a Christmas season where you'll be practically out of your mind with joy because you obeyed the commandment of the Lord, the unction of the Spirit to bless somebody who is less fortunate than you. And you'll see them out shopping. Or maybe they have five or six kids around them and they're yelling and screaming and the mother's all frustrated. Whatever it is, God will show it to you. He'll show it to you and you'll be able to take care of it. He'll show you what to do about it. But remember, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit, look them up, 9 gifts of the Spirit. Find out what God wants you to do and then begin to do it. Father, I thank you for this message this morning, this message on love, your greatest commandment. You are love, Father. You are love. And you live inside of us. Help us not to quench the Spirit of God, but to allow the love to flow from us to others so that their lives will be touched by you, because you are love. So that their lives will be touched by you and that they'll be drawn by your Spirit to a saving knowledge of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, in whom we pray and we have all things. Father, there are people that need to go places today. And those of you who need prayer, stick around and see me after service, and I'll pray for you, I'll pray with you. And we'll go in the back room there. And people, not everybody needs to know your business. Just the Lord needs to know your business. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm praying for, because if it's personal, I don't want to know. It's between you and God, but I'll pray for you anyway. Father, again, thank you for this message today, this service. And I thank you for these people. And I'm so glad we're here in this place. I mean, you really know how to do it. You really know how to do it. We love you. Keep us safe. And again, we just love you. And by the way, I'm going to start today just saying this pretty regularly, Lord. Happy birthday, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. If anybody has need of prayer, just hang in there. And or any questions about love. Praise God.
The doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with the daughter. They said, the one doctor came and said, I think it's vertigo. And then they walked away.
Vertigo.
Yeah, vertigo. But she's healed. We prayed for her here Wednesday night. And that night she said she's doing better. Next day she said she went home.
Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive it and ye shall have it.
Yep.
We believed when we prayed. And so we got to see it. Praise be to God. Yes.